Okay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very glad and very honored to be here with you today, especially that I'm actually replacing my head of unit, Ms. Pat Manson, who unfortunately was unable to come, and she asked me to express her apologies on her behalf. Unfortunately, as you may know, the last days were very busy for DG Information Society. We had the digital assembly, and if you had a look perhaps in the internet, there were some speeches of Commissioner Nelly Kroes, and you could have noticed how much attention she has paid to a part of our unit's work, which is the safety of children online, which is a safer internet program. So she has really paid a lot of attention to that, which meant that our head of unit was busy and could not even leave Luxembourg in the last week or so. Therefore, I am here, but I brought with me a couple of slides that I think are perhaps a good sort of presentation for the beginning of a conference, because it gives a very general overview of what we are doing, what we have been doing, and what we probably will be doing in the field of access, in the field of opening access to digital cultural heritage in Europe. And, well, I will present myself once more, although most of you have seen me at the kickoff meeting in Rome. My name is Szymon Lewandowski. I'm a project officer, and I work for the e-content safer internet unit of the DG Information Society in Luxembourg. And I'm also a project officer for the Linked Heritage Project. The overall objectives of the EU policies in the field of cultural heritage is to make sure that access to this heritage is as easy and as wide as possible. But we do not just enable the access for its own sake. We are hoping that by enabling access to cultural heritage, we will bring out the value of that of those cultural items, both to the cultural institutions who are hosting them, and who are the mostly content providers, but also to the creators themselves, and I think what's going to be more important in the future, to the private sector, to business, to make sure that they tap the potential that is lying in those in the digital items, which until recently were inaccessible to them, but now thanks to digitization are becoming more and more available. The strategy is threefold. For the Commission, we try to make sure that the legal framework is adapted and is suitable for all these activities that will lead up to the freeing of cultural heritage and putting it online. In that sense, we have a few instruments that we can use. We have the Public Sector Information Directive, for instance, where we try to foster the reuse of the data which are held by the public institutions. And then we have some instruments that are more related to copyright, and in particular, and which is very relevant to digitization activities, is the issue of orphan works that has until now and is still a big obstacle to any sort of mass digitization project. So as you may know, just last month the Commission adopted a proposal for a directive on certain permitted uses for orphan works, and we are hoping that this is going to be one of those big steps forward that will facilitate and will make it easier for the cultural institutions to overcome the problem of orphan works. We are also fostering via different programs, different funding programs and co-funding activities, the digitization and the aggregation of content to make sure that there is enough of that content online and that it actually encourages other similar initiatives, for instance, on member state or regional level. And in that perspective, it is now clear that Europeana is the focal point for all such activities. So anytime the European Commission co-funds any digitization activity, Europeana will be there in the background, or maybe not even in the background, but very clearly as one key element of that policy. We are also moving more and more towards building private, public and private partnerships, because we think that this is a key issue, since all these activities require investment, and in the current times, it's not easy to find a big budget to fund your activities on digitizing cultural heritage. We think that the private part, the private business is there to help, and we would like to see them both in the activities leading to sort of shifting the cultural content into the digital environment, but also later on encouraging the private business to reuse and use and try to take the full value and the full potential of that cultural heritage. If we're talking about strategy, then obviously the main roadmap for the Commission is the Digital Agenda for Europe, which is our roadmap for 2010-2020. We have two key actions in that digital agenda that refer specifically to what we are talking about today, and that is the key action 15 on sustainable financing model. So the Commission has committed itself to finding a model of financing for Europeana that would make sure it will stay there after the current financing framework finishes. So we are currently looking and trying to see what sort of financing model would be best for Europeana post 2013. And the key action one is what I spoke about before, about adapting the legal framework, where the Commission again committed itself to finding a way or to pushing forward the topic of orphan works. And now with the recently published proposal for directive, we hope this is going to be if it's going to be adopted finally in that shape, then it's going to be a big step forward in that sense. But apart from that, we also fund activities in relation to open data, so the public sector information that has to be freed up and made accessible online as well. And we are also funding different research, but also different pilot projects on opening access to scientific data, to scholarly publications. The framework conditions, again, we can look at it from different angles. We can say that while the Commission is trying to set the conditions right for a sort of smooth and fruitful shift, technological shift towards the digital arena and put the cultural content there, we could go back as far as 2005 and look at the number of sort of legislative or political initiatives that had seen the light of day, and we have the communication on digital libraries, and perhaps more importantly in 2006 the recommendation to member states. As you could see, it's not only the Commission, because it's also the 2010 Council conclusion, so the member states to a great extent agree with the Commission that this is a topic that should not be sort of brushed aside, that it should stay at the political agenda. And the Commission is now, let's say, guided to a large extent by the Comité des Sages report, so that is just the beginning of this year. And the latest piece in that on that political and legislative level is the legislation of on orphan works. And we are also continuing our work with stakeholders on finding a model, perhaps a licensing model, on out-of-distribution works. So I can see, politically speaking, there was a big shift, and from 2005 onwards, this topic is on the political agenda, at least on EU level. But the Commission is also working directly with the stakeholders, and in that perspective, I think it's very important to recall the member states, the high-level group on digital libraries, and the member state expert group, which will actually gather next week in Luxembourg, and this is where the Commission is trying to gather all the sort of requests and suggestions from individual member states, and we are also trying to monitor the development throughout Europe of the different digitization activities and preservation activities. There have been three public consultations so far. One of them was linked to the Comité des Sages report, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute as well. But obviously, co-funding of projects through EU programs is something that is an ongoing activity, and ever since the eContent Plus program that has now somehow merged into the ICT policy support program and will run until 2013, we are trying to support Europeana, but also to support the whole ecosystem, as we call it, of Europeana, because in fact we are trying to make sure that there's a sufficient number of European-funded projects that feed into Europeana, that aggregate the content, that help in digitizing the content. And on the other hand, on the research side, this is where we basically focus on preservation activities. And there is a lot of work going on in there. There is, I think, the work program 2012 already published. My colleagues from the Cultural Heritage Unit are working on that. And it is another strand of how presenting how the Commission is trying to lay favorable conditions for digitization and for future preservation of that digitized material. It would be impossible to give a presentation on European policies on access to cultural heritage without mentioning Europeana, so I'm not going to talk a lot because I know there will be a separate presentation in more detail, but it is important to stress that for us it is really much more than just a digital library, it's much more than just an access point, a portal with a search engine that allows you to search for cultural material. Because in fact, what is much more important is this aspect of collaborative sort of endeavor and a collaborative structure as well. And this is where we once again repeat, because probably you will hear it more often from now on, this Europeana ecosystem, as we call it, where we like to see both the cultural, typically cultural institutions like museums and archives and libraries that feed their content and that allow for their content to be searchable online. Then we would like to see, of course, the different aggregators, sectoral or national aggregators that are also part of that ecosystem. We are looking forward to seeing more private involvement in that ecosystem, for instance, through public and private partnerships that will help digitize more content and put it online. That coupled with what we say is a dedicated rights infrastructure, which means a model or a service that would allow cultural institutions and other content holders to overcome that hurdle of orphan works, of uncertainty over copyright. So something that would help them make sure that they can actually put more of that content online, especially the in-copyright content. And I'm talking here maybe more specifically about national and pan-European projects such as the Arrow project, which is going to be continued into an Arrow Plus, which is again a tentative of building a sort of rights repository in Europe. We think that all this together will help in fostering digitization even more, but even more importantly, since I will come back to that again and again, reaching out to the private sector. And once we have that rights infrastructure, once we have a huge amount of data online, then hopefully the private sector will come in and become more involved in reusing of that content, in creating new applications and new services, etc. So this is really the big growing ecosystem that we would like to see, and at the center of that is Europeana. If I was informed correctly, we can count on more or less 19 million digital objects currently accessible through Europeana. So that is a clear improvement. Every time I make a presentation, I have to check that number and change it a bit, and it goes up, so that's fun. There are obviously different types of contributions and different types of content. What is important, it is an issue for us, and we will try to remedy this, is that, and as we heard from our Hungarian colleagues, unfortunately this, it's not really representative, it's not balanced. We like to see some countries contribute more to Europeana, so that to free their and to put their cultural content online perhaps a bit faster. Now, the important thing is the EU cannot tell what sort of content we like to see there. We can just give broad guidelines, and obviously we have always concentrated, and then we will continue to concentrate on the what we call masterpieces, so something that really appeals to the public, classics, masterpieces. And in that context, we are talking on a continuous level with the member states, on the level of the member state expert group, and we will try to agree on a sort of a roadmap to really put a little bit more pressure on those perhaps underachieving member states to make sure that what we can find through Europeana will be much more representative to the overall European wealth, cultural wealth. Plus, the development of new functionalities and applications is clearly a way forward, and I'm sure that in the next work programs, 2012 and 2013, and even more so in the years to come, we will put much more emphasis on that. We will try to make sure that Europeana is sort of much more user-friendly, and once the critical mass of content is there, I'm sure it will be also a natural next step for the users of Europeana to try to reuse, try to manipulate that content a bit more. The Comité de Sages report is another document that I could not omit when talking about EU policies in that field, because it is not an official EU document, so I cannot say that this is a guideline for our policies, but clearly it is a major point in the discussion on digitization and preservation of cultural heritage. And I will mention that later on, the Commission will be issuing a document, will be adopting a document later on this year, which will be a sort of an official reply to the Comité des Sages report, so which will be much more detailed and give better indications on what the Commission plans to do, which recommendations it will take on board and which are perhaps not that easy to take on board. But in any case, I'll just briefly go through the main recommendations of the Comité des Sages. As you know, three major personalities were given a task to the commissioners last year to come up within 8 months with a report that would help us structure our discussion on cultural heritage online and perhaps guide us in our legislative and political activities for the whole period of 2010-2020. The input provided was not only, in fact, from those three wise men, as I used to say, from the reflection group, but there was also an online consultation, and there were also some studies which were commissioned, for instance, on the cost of digitization. So it's a fairly big undertaking, and it is still being sort of digested by the Commission, and will still is a food for thought that we'll continue to exploit in the years to come. The report is focused on the access, which is very much what the Commission is in line with our policies, as I said, opening access to cultural heritage. And the both aspects, cultural and economic, are put at the front. The six main headings I will go through quickly to present you the main issues and the main findings. So when we talk about public domain material, it's quite important because we realize that even though the public domain material in principle is no longer protected by copyright and so should be accessible as widely as possible, practices vary among different institutions and different member states who have very often very different approaches on how to handle this and how to open access to public domain material. So the key recommendation was that basically public domain material should be widely available and should be open. There should be no restriction on access such as watermarks, etc. At the same time, the rights status of public domain should be unified around Europe to give this legal certainty for those who want to use and reuse that material. And along with that, not only the content itself, the digital items, but also the metadata that accompany the content should be made available, because here also practices vary across different member states. When we talk about in copyright material now, so not the public domain, but in copyright, there is a very real risk of what we call a 20th century black hole, and I'm sure most of you are aware of it. Most of you who for instance, take part in European projects on digitization or aggregation, you know very well that we are really focusing a lot on classical masterpieces, on images and of art from the 18th and 19th century, but it's very rare that we encounter a project that actually tackles sort of modern-day content and contemporary art, for instance. So this is something that has to be overcome, because otherwise we cannot talk about bringing online the complete set of cultural content that we dispose of. So at the same time, rights of the creators have to be respected. Nevertheless, the Commission came up and more or less following the recommendations in the Comité des Sages report with that recently adopted proposal, and we hope that this is going to be a solution. It cannot solve everything, it will not satisfy everyone, but I think for especially those cultural institutions that are involved in sort of educational and cultural activities and that are traditionally open or allow for public access to their documents, that should be a big step forward. And we are also engaged in discussions with different stakeholders such as publishers. This is led by DG Internal Market in the Commission, and they have convened or they have organized a sort of a platform for discussion, and I think they will be actually finalizing that next month, where they hope to reach a memorandum of understanding on the particular case of out-of-distribution works. So works where the authors are known and where they are clearly in copyright, but where they are no longer published anymore and they are no longer available in commercial circulation. Such documents, we think, should also be much more accessible online, and while respecting the rights of the authors, there has to be a way found to bring that cultural content and make it more accessible. So there is a memorandum of understanding on its way. The Europeana is obviously central in the strategy, and the Europeana is recognized as such in the Comité des Sages report. It is, I would say, that its role is further strengthened by the report in that it is really seen as the reference point, if not now, then in the coming years, the reference point and the access point to European cultural heritage online. The funding issue will be tackled on in more detail later on, but basically the main line is that while Europeana should be funded with EU funds, the sort of surrounding activities such as digitization would rather be funded by the member state themselves. I think one of the important elements there, which is something that we realize also after 2 years of having Europeana with us, is that we haven't done enough in terms of promoting Europeana as a brand, as a service. And this is something that we have taken on board, and even in this year's call, so actually call that I'm going to evaluate with my colleagues next week in Luxembourg, there will be projects aiming specifically at promoting and raising awareness of Europeana. So this is one of the recommendations where the Commission is very much acting in line of thought of the reflection group. Sustainability of digital and digitized resources. I think there will be probably more discussion on that tomorrow when you talk about infrastructures. But the thing is, it is recognized now as a key challenge that the content that we bring online and the content that was born digital needs to be preserved in a way, and that we need to find a European sort of standard, if possible, some harmonized way and some harmonized recommendations on what level of sustainability we are aiming at. The Comité des Sages here has some far-reaching recommendations, such as, for instance, proposing that Europeana could also become a sort of a dark archive, a repository. So for the moment, we know that Europeana does not really own content itself. It just opens access to other repositories. But here, the Comité des Sages suggests that perhaps with time, Europeana could also host some of that, copies of that content, for instance. We'll see about that. I know that as far as research is concerned, my colleagues from the Cultural Heritage Unit in Luxembourg are working hard on sort of developing new ways or developing new strategies for the future on new projects, new research projects on sustainability of digital resources, and they have... No, 2 months ago, I think there was a workshop organized in Luxembourg, maybe some of you were present there, where they gathered opinions on what the new research program 2014-2020 should contain and where they should look at. So I'm not an expert in that field, but from what I heard, I think they have also very similar concerns to ours, in the sense that they realize that they need to move, when you talk about digital preservation, from let's say the risk management perspective of not to lose some data, to rather the value added perspective on showing that preserving digital data can be beneficial in the longer term. And with this, they are planning to bring more private investment on board. They are trying to create a sort of a market for ICT solutions and research outcomes on preservation of digital heritage. Funding of Europeana, as I mentioned, and funding of digitization, maybe in general, it's estimated at almost 100 billion when we are talking about all European heritage. So that's obviously a big sum of money that the European Commission would never be able to cover, and the member states themselves, especially in the current situation, even less. So we are sort of slowly moving, and the Comité de Sages is also sort of reiterating that, that whereas EU will pay for Europeana and member states should concentrate, or even on regional level, on digitizing, we have to think about bringing private investment on board. And there is a separate section in the Comité de Sages report that talks about public-private partnerships. And within that public-private partnerships, we know that nowadays it's fairly difficult. When you look around Europe for sort of best practices or best examples on how to use public and private partnerships, you would see obviously the Google example, but it's a very specific example that we could not replicate in other areas. They have a very specific business model. So we are, I think, very much agreeing in agreement with the member states in that some new conditions should be set, and that we should facilitate the involvement of private institutions, because probably most of that work should be done on the level of member states. There are some successful initiatives in some countries, like in Spain, for instance, where some mass digitization projects were possible thanks to the fact that there are some tax incentives for the private partners to engage with public partners in digitizing, so in order to actually spend considerable sums of money on digitization. So on the one hand, they increase perhaps their visibility and their brand image is improved. On the other hand, they have very concrete tax incentives, and this is why they do it. So this is, I think, this is a big topic for discussion for the future. We'll certainly try, as a European Commission, to put forward some proposals to make it easier for the PPPs in the cultural heritage sector to flourish. In conclusion, or maybe if we look at the first period, the 2005-2010, when it was the first discussion, the first activities on digital libraries, there were some achievements that already seen in that period. And you can first of all mention Europeana with the launch of prototype in 2008. But I think the main achievement is that the digital libraries discussion, the topic itself, has been raised up to the European political level, and is there to stay. Yeah? At the same time, we've managed to put in place a number of programs, a number of co-funding possibilities to help in digitization and help bring that cultural content online. When we look at the sort of time frame 2010-2020, we still need the effort. We still need effort on all sides, because we see it as a collaborative effort between cultural institutions, so the public partners, the EU, member states, hopefully perhaps in the future private partners as well. We have the Comité de Sages, which is an important step in that discussion, and will certainly, it will guide us in the years to come. And we will be still improving access to culture, but not only for its own sake, but as I said before, we are hoping that private involvement will help build around that cultural content some new applications, services and products, and perhaps bring it into the leisure market, into the tourist industry, into the educational field. This is something that I'm sure we can be we will put much more emphasis on in the future work programs. The next concrete steps is just that we will continue work with the member states and we'll continue our discussions. We'll try to draft a roadmap for the years to come to be able to monitor digitization activities in more detail. We are set on Europeana as the focal point of all these policies, and the Commission is going to publish later on this year in the summer, maybe later in autumn, the College will adopt probably a communication which will be sort of a reply to the Comité de Sages report. And we are also thinking on the financing model for Europeana post 2014, but since we have just we are just finalizing discussions on work program 2012-2013, it's really too early to tell what we will come up with for the years 2014 and onwards. So unfortunately I cannot give you any details on that. In any case, we have a common goal, I think we all agree on that. We want to open access to cultural heritage, and as the Commission I can only say and repeat that we will count on your support, and I'm quite confident that this meeting here and the project as linked heritage are an important step in that direction. So thank you very much, and I pass the floor on to the next speaker.